Times are changing drastically every day as we face the worldwide impact of COVID-19. More than ever, we need to be reminded to lift our eyes to the Lord, who alone remains constant. Join now Pastor George Small as he encourages and reminds us of the unchanging truths found in God's Word and makes this time available to answer any questions and pray with you during this live broadcast. If you have a question or a prayer request, call in at 978-353-0849. Again, that's 978-353-0849. Now let's join Pastor George Small.
Well, welcome to this special 1 hour here on Renew FM. This is George Small. It's a privilege to be with you again tonight, joining with you through the radio broadcasts and maybe your phone app or your streaming on your computer at home or whatever it might be. But it's a privilege to be with you. And tonight we have a special guest coming on here in a few minutes that I think you're going to find very interesting, a pastor and minister, but also somebody who has a significant science background, too. So he's going to be joining us tonight as we discuss this time we're in and all that is going on and COVID-19. We live in a different hour right now, and the world is all dealing with this. And so we want to encourage you here at Renew FM. We want to point you towards the Lord, and that's our goal, simply keep reminding you about the love of God, but also just the Word of God, and just encouraging you in Christ. And if you are somebody that knows the Lord, I hope you find this next hour encouraging in some way or another, that God ministers to you and encourages you as you're tuned in. But also, if you don't know the Lord, I pray God uses this short program here, this time live on the radio. Mike's turned on here in our studio, just trying to encourage you and reach out to you. And I pray you'd sense the love of God, too, and just the Holy Spirit wherever you're at, driving in your car, whatever you might be doing right now. I just pray you would sense the Lord. And because the Holy Spirit is there, you know, he's there where you are. He's here where I am. The Holy Spirit is working, and he's revealing God to us. And so I pray that God would use this program to also just stir up your heart and consider him, and we'll talk about that as we go along. But for those that know the Lord too, I think of this scripture as we get started tonight. We've considered many of them over the last couple of weeks, but Isaiah chapter 63. I want to remind you, you know, when we are in a time of suffering, it can seem that, you know, God is far away and here we are. Why is he allowing us to go through what we are? But it's interesting, the words of Isaiah chapter 63. Course, God speaking through the prophet, speaking back then to his people, the nation of Israel. But there are scriptures that give us a similar sort of thought in the New Testament. But Isaiah chapter 63, in all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bore them and carried them all the days of old. In all their affliction, that's interesting, the way it's recorded there in the New King James, the NIV. In all their distress, he too was distressed. And think about that. You know, I think of God's word to Jesus, what he said to Paul, which Saul at the time in Acts chapter 9. This man was persecuting the church at the time, really against the church, and God would get a hold of his heart and use him in an amazing way, even change his name from Saul to Paul. But it's what Jesus said to him. Here's this man persecuting believers, going out to far extents to do what he could to capture them and put them in prison and so forth. But Jesus says to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And in the same sort of way, you know, the things that were happening to God's people, Jesus says, Saul, you're doing it to me. And I remind you of that as we get started on this 1 hour program today on this Tuesday. In their affliction, in their distress, he too is distressed. God isn't disconnected right now. God is still above all things. He has a great way that he works that's far beyond us sometimes to understand. But yet it is also true that he loves us incredibly and understands the suffering we go through. In fact, it is true, isn't it? God himself became a man. God's son became a man. He knows what all this suffering is like. He knows what trials and tribulations are like. He knows it all. He even knows death itself, right? Jesus died. That's what we're considering this week, Easter week here. the death and resurrection of Jesus. So the world is considering that. So just to remind you tonight, as we wait for our phone lines here to bring on our special guest. So we're going to do that now. Lou, welcome to Renew FM. This is George Small.
Hey, George. This is Lou Wing.
Hey, Lou. It's great to have you with us today. So glad you're able to join us for this time.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, Lou, you have a lot of unique history, and you don't just have a ministry background and a church background and Bible background, but you also have a science background. And not only that, you also have time in New England. I remember speaking to you years ago about your lab work in Worcester, Massachusetts. And so,
So
as we get started tonight and people are listening, tell us a little bit about your background, actually, you know, our listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, George, you know, my background is, and exactly like you said, described, as I'm a pastor and as church planter here, and I live in San Diego, California. And alongside that, I have a bachelor's degree in biology, cell molecular biology, and a medical technology license, and a PhD from Aberdeen University with Scripps Clinic here in San Diego. And my background is in bloodborne illnesses and blood and coagulation in general. And my world has been drug development in relation to toxicology, pharmacokinetics, and I work very closely with pharmaceutical companies in their submissions and their documentation, really, to get them through the stages of FDA and ultimately to marketing applications. And so my world has been jarred severely in the midst of all this. I've been a consultant with a large firm, consulting firm, and it's really international. It's called Parexel. And it's an organization that is very involved with all types of drugs and their development programs. And my role has been and continues to be within the toxicology world and what we call non-clinical, meaning that's like the early stages, the sort of conception of drugs, all the way up to the first in human. So really some of the development of vaccines and or immunotherapeutics or any sort of these novel types of drugs that are coming out into the market these days, I'm going to play a role in that in helping sort of go from research into development by organizing these submissions. So, as I say, our world has been jarred severely with sort of repurposing drug companies at this time to focus on COVID-19 and to bring, whether it be a company that was working originally on sort of like maybe a lung cancer or something, there was a lot of familiarity with different, respiratory issues and so on. They're repurposing themselves and focusing on the indication of COVID-19. And so we're helping with them with that, as well as organizations that really have never had vaccine development experience. And we're sort of bringing in our expertise to assist with that process as well. So our world at this point is, as you know, with everybody in this stay-at-home life right now, our world I've worked from home anyway, but it's been dramatically affected by what's happened in our culture, in our globe, even as we speak right now.
Oh, yeah. It's, as I've mentioned, I had somebody on the radio last night from France. I've had people from Canada and people from the New York City area, New England area. And, you know, we're all in this together. I can have a pastor on like I did last night, calling late at night from France, and he's on the western part of France, and we're in the same boat. It's the same thing. And, quite a remarkable time. So with your understanding, now here you are a man, a pastor, church planner, all that, a theologian. And so you've got this other understanding. You've got this other perspective of what's going on. And there are, I guess I'll just start with this question, but there aren't many. I think they're all changing. But for those that are thinking this isn't that serious, those that are thinking that, hey, we've got, influenza, COVID-19, really no difference. What's all the excitement? What would you say to them?
Well, I would say to them, if it weren't for what this actual virus is and what it's done and what it's doing, and how different it is from influenza, I would take this one very seriously, mainly because this coronaviruses is really, it's a large family of viruses, just like influenza. You know, there's many different types. However, this type, interestingly, has been only moderate upper respiratory infections. And, you know, it's really this whole thing that's happened in the 21st century when there's been emerging outbreaks of coronavirus of all things, because it's actually jumped species, really. And that's really what it's done. Normally, we're in animal reservoirs. And when I say jump species, they literally have the capacity to, you know, exposure in different cultures. And, you know, it's not a blame game at all. This was not some sort of a manufactured virus at all. As a matter of fact, the sequence of coronavirus has been solved. It's an RNA virus, and its sequence really is derived most likely, if not exclusively, from the, believe it or not, it's called it's a really unique animal, and it almost looks like an anteater. And people have always been thinking it was the bat that was the real issue here, but it's the pangolin. And this particular animal, and it's crossing into that species, from that species to humans, has what we're dealing with now. And because of that change, a regular cold virus now has a really severe capacity to affect lung tissue, specifically the cells that line your lungs. And it has a lock and key mechanism for it to lock into the lung, and in compromised lungs, and, you know, we're still seeing it as in older generations, but actually in younger. So I would love to say that there is only one type or demographic that this actually infects, but there is the potential to erode the cells to a very severe degree. And as we've seen in histological sample tissue samples, we've seen massive degradation of certain lung types. So this is one of those kind of pneumonias that is no joke. I mean, it can be lethal. And that's what we're seeing with vulnerable individuals. And I would love to say that we can categorize who the vulnerable are, but it really is dependent on a number of factors. And it's compromised lungs, but it's also, it could be immune issues that we have a variety of different comorbidities that are associated with this, that sort of allow or facilitate a greater extent of how the disease can actually progress. So, you know, it's not one size fits all. Everybody's sets of lungs are unique. Some people aren't even symptomatic. You know, they're just like a common cold. Not everybody gets it. However contagious we may often be, you know, it's the same thing with coronavirus here. Because it comes from a common cold family, it may only be that to individuals. However, because of this unique genome, it has the potential to be an extremely deadly virus as well. That's why we're so cautious right now, because we never know who is who at this point, right? So that's why it's so important for us to treat each other as if we are carriers. And it will, you know, we talk about flattening the curve and so on. Well, that's exactly the way we are to treat it at this point. Because unless we look at it this way, we will come up to the fall here very soon where we're going to see, yes, we talk about the second waves. Well, that's exactly what happens with these type of cold viruses, is that it goes through a season, a spell, and then all of our behaviors go back to normal. And we'll see a resurgence of the virus back into our society, even to a greater extent. So really, you know, just to give a little bit of history, if you want.
Yeah, please.
I'm telling you, there's seven different coronaviruses. And there's really only four that at this point that are just what we call mild viruses. In other words, they cause at the most a common cold. But, you know, interestingly, in about 2002, we had the SARS virus. The SARS simply means severe acute respiratory syndrome. This was a far more dangerous virus than what we're experiencing now. But interestingly, SARS in 2002 disappeared completely in 2004, and it left as quickly as it came. And then, interestingly, 10 years later, when we had that Middle Eastern, you know, the MERS, mm-hmm. respiratory syndrome, in which, you know, in 2012, it was, believe it or not, it had the same effect, but a smaller population, a similar pathology, or as far as, you know, death rates and so on. But it was, now it just stays back in camels, just where it originated from, crossing species.
Wow.
But then this one, interestingly, 10 years later, so we're seeing this in 10-year increments. Now we're in the 10 years later, and this pangolin, it was in this animal, and apparently it was able to cross into humans because of a cultural issue that is still being investigated now. And we're dealing with this one, but apparently the genes of this one and the genome that comes into this virus is much larger than any known coronavirus, meaning that it has a lot more potential to do its job and do it really well. And once it gets into your lungs, it does a really good job of locking into its mechanism, getting inside of the cell, and literally turning its genome into a manufacturing unit for itself. And that's exactly how a virus functions, is that it's neither alive nor dead. That's kind of the way you define a virus. They're called acellular. And they can only really live once they're in the host cell. And once they get into it, they take over. And you think about this tiny little genome. We're talking 30,000 pieces compared to what's in your human genome, which is 3 billion. In other words, it's 1/1,000th of 1% of your genome that this little thing does to your cell. It has that level of a capacity, which is even more mind-boggling when you think about its potential to actually cause disease. So, you know, we know for a fact that at this point there are many carriers and even people that have actually have been infected that have had no symptoms whatsoever. And at this phase of where the disease is at, if it's anything that's mirrored with MERS or SARS, we're going to see that COVID is, yes, it can be very stable for hours to days in aerosols. That we do know that. We do know that it can survive even on desktops and on cardboard and so on. But the take-home message from that is that it can only be potent if it gets into the lungs. And that's really that's why the respiratory issues are so important and why we're still covering our faces at this point, because it's going to limit the amount of aerosol respiratory droplets that can actually, you know, come from our systems at this point. So, and they're even finding that, you know, just by talking, it can expose individuals. So it's this time, again, we have to treat each other as if we all are carriers.
Well, if you're listening right now, you're listening to a pastor. It may not sound that way. I'm a pastor, but Lou Wing is a pastor, but not just a pastor, as you can tell with his knowledge. He's a man that has also worked in the sciences and has a bachelor's in biology, cell biology, a PhD in biochemistry, a toxicologist, as he's talking about, working with the different pharmaceuticals and so forth. And as you can tell, knows a whole lot about coronavirus and COVID-19. So as you're listening, you know, the church right now, there's so many different opinions. And sometimes, you know, because of maybe the news media we have or whatever it might be, we might be a little bit more cautious or a little bit more cynical about information we're hearing. But here's a pastor that's with me, church planner. And as you can tell, what he's saying is what you're hearing from our government authorities in the general way. This is a serious situation we have. This is a serious virus. This is something that obviously can be deadly, because right now I think we have, 80,000 people in our country that have died, and this just showed up a few weeks ago. And this is not even peaking yet, and we're going to get to a point where I think today, you know, maybe 2,000 or more people will die just today. It's quite a thing we're watching happen, and so this is very serious. And so for the churches that also think, hey, you know, the government's against us, wants us to, shut our doors, and, you know, that's restricting our rights, that's really a backwards perspective, isn't it? That there's a disconnect there, because this is a serious thing for people in general. And the government is here to protect us and to look out for the people. Yeah. And we have a health crisis. And I was reading Baxter in the 1600s? Was referring, somebody quoted, I think I saw it today, in something that, you know, referring back then to some sort of pandemic or some sort of epidemic.
Yeah.
Bubonic plague. Hey, government. We got to do what the government says here, man. Because this is good for all. We can't be people that cause other people to get sick because, you know, they're not restricting our rights. They're doing what we need to do all together to protect one another. So,
Well, you know, and I just think along those lines, you know, the 1600s and so on, and even the bubonic plague in the 1300s, when people really didn't understand the mode of transmission whatsoever, it all really does boil down to some of the first, if not the first evidence of why leprosy was such an important disease to understand even to this day. Only 150 years ago did we even understand it was a bacteria that caused leprosy, Mycobacterium leprae. I mean, even the Hebrew wants to, use it as skin diseases. But, you know, leprosy is transmitted to individuals' respiratory droplets. That's how it's transmitted, the same way the coronavirus is transmitted. So if we look at that, we can actually make the analogy of then how did God design contagion? How did he put it together as far as diagnosis is concerned? And how profound is it to look and see at Leviticus 13 and 14, how profound it is to see contagion when people are quarantined, to see if there's evidence of disease over a period of 7 days to 14 days. I mean, it's remarkable. The Word of God confers exactly what we're describing here. And, you know, I think of that and you realize that the greatest way of loving our brothers and sisters is to give each other the space because we are all biological organisms. You know, we often want to just deny that when we start to bring in the spiritual aspects because, you know, we're supposed to deny our flesh and, you know, sort of have sort of absent-minded idea that, you know, we're containing, you know, microorganisms. Well, if we have to realize something, your body has 10 times more bacteria and viruses in your body than cells in your body. 10 times more, meaning you're containing a lot of bacteria and viruses. They're saturating you. I mean, if you were to just, that's why when somebody dies and the smell is so odorous, is because it's all the anaerobic bacteria that are just really wanting to hang out as long as possible because that's where they live. And that's exactly the reason why, you know, in this life that we're in this planet, it is about the biological nature of us, and we can't deny that we have a body, and God designed it that way for a very good reason. I say that because, you know, if you look at the way and this whole idea about how people were healed, and, you know, no one was ever healed of leprosy. And I think it's so interesting when you think about that because, you know, back then, even to this day, there is really no cure for it. We can treat leprosy, but, you know, there's still a real challenge in understanding the details of its containment. And I can get into a lot of the genomics of Mycobacterium leprae, but let me just say, just as a summary statement, it isn't a closed door as far as understanding how that the infection process is actually goes. Because we're seeing so much more about stem cell biology in the leprosy disease, of all things, that it's an extraordinary field of research right now. We're going to also find that the more we study coronaviruses and we start to see their capacity to take on other genomes and cross species, and notice that there's a 10-year increment between these three different radically moving viruses that can now be transmitted globally, it's giving us a better understanding that God's waking us up to a greater understanding of how he's not only designed us, but, you know, it's given science a real handle on, hey, this not only is real, this could cause extinction if we don't really watch it as far as, you know, having an understanding of how this contagion actually can be harnessed. Because, you know, we can look at it like, oh, God is, you know, it's a judgment from heaven and all that. Well, you know, you can look at the same thing when we have an earthquake. It's the same thing that can happen with any natural disaster. It happens on a fallen planet, and we have to recognize that when sin came into the world, it brought about alterations to what was good. Because people often think, well, you know, then are viruses good? I mean, when God created the planet, did he create viruses? I mean, what a great question. I mean, we would always think that viruses are, you know, just only evil because they're parasites. And parasitic behavior would just make it presuming that parasitic behavior is sinful, when in fact it's part of a living system in an ecosystem that is dependent on the detritus that ultimately is how we get the nitrogen that ultimately will be utilized, for making proteins and so on. So this whole idea of life in its existence, you know, there are actually, believe it or not, some really good viruses, viruses that can transfer, you know, DNA into different types of cells that could be a benefit to them. So it's difficult for us to say and to limit this virus to one specific category of it and putting it under the label of evil, when in fact it really doesn't have a moral nature to it whatsoever. It's simply a biological paradigm that now that we understand it, that, you know, yes, God is very involved with the process and he uses it. However crazy that may sound, but, you know, he doesn't notice that God doesn't just take it away. He's allowed it for a reason. And one of the greatest ways that we respond to it, first and foremost, just as Jesus did, is we can recognize the tragedies of the deaths that can ensue and learn the process, just as Jesus taught us to lament and to mourn for those that, yes, death came to planet Earth. And, you know, it's something that we all want to avoid. We certainly don't want to see tsunamis. We don't want to see earthquakes. We don't want to, you know, be the victims of a fallen world. But this is what our life is. And, you know, we can't avoid it. And so how do we face it with him? I can't get past this, you know, this story that describes Jesus, you know, in the boat with the disciples. And here the storm comes, and the disciples are all panicking on the surface of the ship. And what do? They try to build a better boat? Did they try to get the scientists to come in and figure out how to get through this? And all, you know, no, they went downstairs and woke Jesus up. And this is exactly where we're at right now. You know, as much as I would love to say that I have all the answers as a scientist, one of the greatest things a scientist can ultimately do is come to that beautiful statement of, yes, I don't have all the answers. And we're working on it. It's something that we're discovering. But the beautiful thing about being a scientist who is a believer in Jesus Christ is knowing that he is the answer. And he will provide not only the way through this, but he takes us through it. He just asks us to wake him up.
Well, Lou, did I cut you off? I didn't mean to cut you off. But
No, you're fine.
Yeah, you have just so many wonderful points, questions I would have posed, you've already answered. We're going to be coming to a break. I hope you can stay on with us a little longer after the break, short break.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and,
sure.
And because I think you've got a lot of people thinking right now. But, you know, you're listening. This is Dr. Lou Wing. He is got a cell biology degree, a PhD in biochemistry, a toxologist, and yet also a pastor. He's a church planner. And what you're hearing is about COVID-19, and this is you know, a scientific look at it, but also a biblical perspective. I think so interesting, Lou, you're mentioning the, leprosy in the Bible. And absolutely, that's exactly what we see in Leviticus, right? In the Old Testament, you've got this
absolutely.
Potential virus. What did they do? They isolated you for the sake of the other people. And so that right there is just a tremendous thing for us to consider right now as Christians. If there's any that are questioning what is going on with our government, and the need for this, well, this pastor that I've got online right now and also a biochemist and a toxicologist has just told us, the Bible tells us to even do these sort of things at this hour. So, but we're going to go to a break here in just a little bit, and we're going to come back, and I've got a few questions for you. But, a lot of great information, really good. And you're a smart guy, too, Lou. You know a lot of things. So we'll be right back after the break, all right?
All right, man. Thank you.
Welcome back to Renew FM, the second half hour. We've got a tremendous program here with you tonight. We want to encourage you in this time of a global pandemic. We have on the line Pastor Dr. Lu Wing, who has a science background. If you've been listening, has brought up some tremendous truths scientifically, but also theologically. And so as we continue here in the second half of this program, Lou, you brought me to another point. I wanted to ask you another question, and you answered it, but I want to go back there because, you know, why is there evil in the world? Why is there suffering? And, you know, this virus is, to me, you know, I've got an engineering background, not a science background as far as biology, and they almost seem like little aliens, you know? They come in and they do these evil things, and you wonder about viruses, but you actually really gave some incredible insight into what it is. It's not moral either way. It's not even living, which I guess it's like a landmine, right? It's just sitting there with all this potential inside of it until it touches the cell, I guess, and suddenly, wow, boom, here we go. And it's able to get into it and take over it. But so with suffering and with the COVID-19, this is a Boston radio station, Renew FM. We've got a group of them, one in Boston, all these students. So if you wouldn't mind, just a little bit more to the secular, educated, you know, logical suffering virus. Why God? Why would God allow it? And I want you to, if you would, continue a little bit more of that.
Yeah. You know, the subject is so rich. And, you know, you have to center the whole subject matter under the whole concept of God as creator and acknowledging God. You know, that we can finally, if we can just acknowledge that God exists, that's where we start with. Then we look and see how God reveals himself. And it reveals himself three ways. And Psalm 19 summarizes it beautifully. He shows himself as the creator. He shows himself in the word. And he shows himself in the conscience. And there's the beauty of those three, the intimacy that God reveals from his creation in his word to our conscience is demonstrated from the very beginning. And if you think about Genesis and the whole creation, we're talking about good and always good. And this whole idea of meaning complete. Like, I did this, I did it right, and it's not going to, it's unalterable. In other words, each one of those different species of their kind is where we get the word gene, because it was all based on, and all living things are based on a molecule that we now have discovered is DNA, which is the blueprint for everything that exists alive on this planet, including the virus. And the virus has either RNA or it has DNA. And it always is coming from a host. In other words, every virus is defined by a location or its host, whether it be the Rift Valley or whether it be Ebola, or whether it be Marburg, or whether it be any one of there's thousands and thousands of viruses. I mean, more so than we'll ever be able to categorize. And the whole field of virology is really a way of being able to describe this extraordinary particulate in light of what a cell is. It's like literally the size of a rocket ship. As a matter of fact, there is a virus that actually looks like a rocket ship called a bacteriophage, and it actually lands like it does on a rocket lands on the moon, and it inserts its RNA or DNA into the cell itself. And, you know, it's interesting that whatever variety of shapes they are, and how they are literally an equivalent size of what a rocket ship would look like landing on the moon. I mean, it's that size comparison. So if you can imagine that little tiny particulate to harness that entire cell, it is obviously a strategic, extraordinary mechanism on how it can not only destroy a cell, but it can, and as we know from molecular biology now, it can stay inside of the cell. It can stay in what's called a latent form. And ultimately, some stress event, something that can occur, that cell can get reactivated and it goes into what's called the lytic cycle. So you have the lysogenic or the sort of latent cycle where it just stays put. And the like chickenpox, for example, the classic example, you get chickenpox, and then later on in life, somehow that DNA that was in the genome of a given cell in your neurons is reactivated, and lo and behold, you have shingles. So it's a reactivated virus.
Wow.
So we have a lot of viruses in our bodies. Herpes simplex is a classic example, and it can get reactivated at various times. So, you know, I'd love to say that we can control all the different types of viruses that are in our bodies and bacteria. It will literally be only until we die that we'll actually be able to figure out what's actually inside of our bodies. And so to sort of step out of that mindset, then, we have to we make this principle, well, since we can't understand all of that, what is God's purpose? And how is he showing us what this is? Well, as I said a moment ago, that we're living on, well, I say, a fallen world. There was, as we know, back in the very beginning, when sin entered in, sin, original sin, had to do with not only a fallen human, but a fallen world, meaning that it has fallen into decay, and the decay ultimately performs death. So death ensued in light of sin. So even when God warned Adam in the garden, he says, if you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. Well, that first mention of die is actually in Hebrew, it's a continuous form of die, meaning it's dying, you shall die. Meaning that just like the term apoptosis, that programmed cell death, every cell then is going to now have every division, there will be a loss of the chromosome, a slice of the chromosome was removed in the process of the death cycle. So all cells age, and that aging process is indicative of death. So dying, you shall die. And just as that manifestation of that death after God clothed Adam and Eve, lo and behold, Cain and Abel come along, and as you remember from Genesis 4:7, when Cain brought the offering of his self-righteousness or the fruit of his basket, as opposed to the way God had instructed Adam and Eve to kill the animal, he brings this offering that did not please God because it didn't bring it God's way. And lo and behold, the evidence of sin, he says something so profound. He says, if you do well, chapter 4:7 of Genesis says, will you not be accepted? And if you don't do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Well, the desire is what I should rule over, yes, and sin is defined there first time. Sin is defined as an opportunist. In other words, it's looking for an opportunity to infect. Now, as I said before, you know, that the virus doesn't have any moral code to it whatsoever. However, when you think about what a virus actually does do, if it's going to be an opportunist, it's looking for a way in regardless. It's not looking whether it's a good person or a bad person. It's simply taking advantage of an opportunity. And that's exactly what sin does, isn't it? Yeah. It takes us, and it's exactly what happened to Cain. So I say that all in light of the fact that, you know, we have, you know, think about Augustinian theology and, you know, some of his original stuff on original sin. He said something so profound in one of his later letters, in his letters to Julius. He says in his first or sixth volume, he says, some sort of invisible and intangible power is located in the secrets of nature where the natural laws of propagation are concealed. And on account of this power, as many as were going to be able to be begotten from the one man by a succession of generations are certainly not untruthfully said to have been in the loins of the father. Now, what that really was telling us is that this invisible and intangible power in the genome is something that can be altered. Well, you know, it gives a picture of a biological principle that could be analogous to what happens with a virus, because the virus is actually comes into the genome, it inserts itself within it, and then turns the machinery on all against the cell itself, meaning that it's harnessed all the machinery. It's like walking into a manufacturing center and walking up to the CEO of the organization, taking him off and just reassigning everybody to all their duties in the organization, and it's all about what you want to have made, and it's all about making yourself. It's no different than, you know, the Red Book in China when a dictator is running it. The whole idea is that it's a dictator, and that's exactly what sin did, and it does to our lives. When we're born in sin, we're born with this dictator who's governing our soul. And that's why it's so important for us to recognize that, you know, that sort of we think about the connection to a fallen world and so on. This is exactly how God has designed it.
Wow.
And so we can take some of that theology in a deeper, but a lot of the early Augustinian work does work with understanding original sin.
Wow.
So,
Yeah. So intriguing, Lou, to be listening to you again. If you're listening right now to this conversation that I'm having with Dr. Lou Wing, I remind you, he's a pastor. He's a church planner, knows the Lord, loves the Lord, and teaches at Bible college and so forth, but yet he has a PhD in biochemistry and degrees in cell biology, but also is a toxicologist. So he COVID-19 is something he knows a lot about. So you're listening to a scientist, but also a pastor at the same time. And as you hear him, he's revealing the design to all of these things. He is giving the answer to, you know, we look at suffering, we look at destruction, we look at a fallen world, and the answer to that, as Dr. Lou Wing is even sharing with us as a pastor, is the Bible. We see even in the Bible what God has said long ago about the way man is designed, about the fallen nature of man, about the curse that was brought upon the planet, and the way sin works. So you're hearing about the what the Bible declares. As we look at the world, the answers are there. Why is there suffering? Yet God, there's still a loving God in the midst of all that. And so, you know, this is very intriguing, I would imagine, for many of us to hear. I want to just go a little further with this because you are a scientist, and I'll see how this goes here. But I'll tell you a quick story, and I wonder, see how you respond to it.
Sure.
But I was on a plane in Boston sitting at the tarmac at Logan, and by the window seat was a researcher from Brandeis University. I had the aisle seat. We get talking real quick. He asked me what I do. Well, he told me he was a researcher, and I forget exactly what he did. But he asked me what I did, and I said, well, I pastor a church. And his response, it changed the whole conversation at that moment. He was telling me about his research, and then when he heard I was a pastor, this is what he said. He looked out the window of the airplane and onto the tarmac outside, you know, and he goes, you know, when I look out there, he says, I'll be honest to you. When I look out there, I see design. He says, but I don't believe in God. So I don't believe any of this exists. And I thought that was quite a crazy thing to say, you know, as a researcher looking out the window, being honest that he sees design and creation and yet not believing in God. So not being able to account for that, saying, well, we must not even exist. We must all just be something else, you know, like the Matrix or something. And so evolution, being a scientist and, evolution, survival of the fittest, it seems like, how does an evolutionist deal with a virus? You have the answer from the Bible with the fallen nature, the fallen world, but how does an evolutionist deal with that?
Yeah, that's in and of itself is a great question. And often people in the evolutionary biology would think that, you know, that's where we get the variety within the species, is that a virus is going to take this DNA and, you know, it's what's like a transduction where the virus can actually carry the DNA to other cells. And, you know, that DNA will then ultimately get implanted in that DNA of that cell and will ultimately change into something different. You know, it will change the species and so on. And we know for a fact that, you know, any time a virus does that, it's only a parasitic interaction. It's not to advance the species at all. So viruses, by their nature, I mentioned the benefit, it would often be benefit for maybe a survival of a cell, but it would certainly not be something that would be generating a different species of a cell. We've never seen anything along those lines. As a matter of fact, any time there's been a mutation at all in the DNA of an organism, it's only for harm. It's never species. So when you look at and you really take the idea of evolution and you bring the evolutionary thoughts down to the molecular level, sort of like what we call neo-Darwinianism, we start to realize, and more as we understand the systems that are in place already within a living system, we realize that that concept of, you know, irreducible complexity, which, you know, it's been a phrase for years. And, you know, the scientists, the minute you say that, you basically put a dunce cap on your head because, you know, how dare you have the audacity to think that they're not only is irreducibly complex systems, but that simply gives an omission to ignorance to say that just because you can't figure it out doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And, you know, you can live in that unknowing as a scientist for many, many, many decades. You know, many of the individuals that we know even to this day look at it just like the guy looked out the window and said, you know, how could I it looks so much like design, but I just can't believe there would be a designer. That is why Psalm 19 is so profound, because it talks about how God reveals himself and him looking out the window. The next step is for him to listen, because that's one of the keys to really having an understanding of God, is that science only silence. It never gives us answers. And that's why it's so important that we let our conscience, the Romans chapter 2, it gives us such a beautiful description of those that are judging themselves against themselves. In other words, when I let the law, you know, if they're talking about what the law really was meant to do, but it was a restriction to keeping man in a position where God can not only take him from this understanding of his presence, but then into a relationship with him. And this is where the looking out of the window moments happen, is when individuals stop long enough to listen and recognize that there is truly a living God that is speaking and is speaking to our conscience and simply asks us to respond. That's all he's asking us to do. And I can only say that as a scientist, I'd love to tell you of all the experimental evidence that, you know, it could be the most empirical moment for your life to say, well, I've done this experiment, and lo and behold, God did this. When I became a Christian, I can just tell you flat out, God revealed himself to me. And however lunacy that is, it doesn't affect the quality of my science one bit. As a matter of fact, it enhances it. Because I know that I don't have to keep searching for who's behind all this. He's given me everything that I need for that understanding, that I don't have to try to figure out how I got here in the process. Now that I know I'm here because of him, it changes my entire confidence in science, because I see it as a directive from him. It's his handiwork, and we get to be a participant in it. I mean, what more do you want on planet Earth to be a part of all that he has done? I mean, that's the network of what it means to live and move and have our being in him, because we're participants. And you go from this observational-based science into participatory science, it transforms the idea of what science really means. Because it's the tools, and that's the living tools in biology, for that matter. So, you know, that's why I've always had a problem. I'm a biology teacher for decades, and I, you know, people say, well, how did you teach the revolution? I said, you know, that theory, if it's mandated by the government for you to have this, for this course, you answer these questions, but on the back side of that page, I would love for you to write out, well, how you really see it. And I would give equivalent credit for both, because both of them are philosophical. And if I'm going to ask a philosophical question, you certainly have the right to present your philosophy as well.
Well, that's just really very intriguing, very insightful. I really appreciate you sharing that with our audience. Now, Lou, I've got you on the air. We are not able to take calls here in these last few minutes, and I would imagine there are people that love to connect with you. And I'm just curious, and I guess I'm asking you this on here, not to put you in the corner, but do you have some sort of a website or blog or somewhere somebody can go if they wanted to hit you with a question in response to this interview? Is there something you could share on the air?
Absolutely. Lumenwing.com. is one of what, and also lu wing.com, either work. And I'm on Twitter, and you can look at me there. You can Calvary Chapel Bible College, you can contact me there. Calvarychapel.com, I do articles in there frequently. You can certainly contact me there as well. I'm doing one actually this next week on a lot of what we talked about right now. So, okay. Yeah, I would love to hear from you. Absolutely.
Okay, so it's Lou Wing, which is LUWING.com. LUWING.com. And if you want to, you know, we're going to run out of time here and not be able to take any calls, but you can reach out to Lou. He's, you know, you're maybe listening. And I went to university in Boston. And in fact, I was in Southern California and working at Caterpillar in engineering. And I had no idea God would get a hold of my heart. And but I had a whole vision. The best words I can use to describe a daydream one day as I was seeking the Lord about moving back to New England and putting on Christian radio in Boston. And I could see the Boston University dorms in my daydream I was having. And but it's just a university town. And we now have a 103.7 up on the top of the roof of the John Hancock. And it's not a real big signal, but it covers the Boston area pretty well and those dorms. And so you're maybe listening. And maybe, you know, obviously universities are closed, but there's so many university people at home right now in Boston. But you're listening, and this is Dr. Lou Wing. He's a pastor. He's got a PhD in biochemistry, a toxicologist, and very involved, obviously, with the pharmaceutical companies. As he started our conversation, all this going on with COVID-19 is certainly it's a big thing in his world right now, what he's involved with. But you can reach out to him, Lou, LUWING.com. And he gave us a few other places. And I believe this interview will also be available at our Radio Renew FM Facebook page. And so you can go there and hear it again if you want to hear it again and get some more information. Okay, Lou, we've got just a couple minutes. And you've got people, you know, your old neck of the woods. You used to live in New England a little bit, the Boston area as a scientist. And what would you say at this moment, in your heart, what would you say to a city that right now is wondering about life and wondering where to look? What would you say to them?
Well, you know, and all I can say is that the Wing family of America is in Sandwich, Massachusetts. We were there back in the 1600s, and we still have the town. The town, the Sandwich is like Wing.
Wow.
Our whole family. And we have reunions there every year. I mean, that's like, it's thousands and thousands of people are Wing in this world. And we all are Massachusetts people. Oh, yeah. And, you know, honestly, with the extraordinary schools that are gifted in Massachusetts and how God has blessed this state of Massachusetts, let me encourage you, is that, you know, and I say this as a scientist, I say this as a pastor, that the most wonderful thing on planet Earth is to have an understanding that you're known and you can know a living God. And it's a simple act of just not only listening, but letting him come into your heart. And I know that George has shared what we call the gospel with, you know, individuals and on the radio stations. But I strongly encourage you to take advantage of the moment, even right now while we're quarantined. Now that we're cornered, literally, to let yourself be known by God. Because, you know, so often we often, you know, say the thing is, God, if you're real, show yourself to me. You know, that sincere prayer is answered when we just stop long enough and listen and let him speak to us. In that silence of your heart, just ask him to come into your heart. You know, we talked about sin today, and let me just say that's the one thing that hinders that relationship with him, and I'd encourage you to just admit that's the condition you're in. And once you admit that and you recognize that you're forgiven because of Jesus, and we're talking about Easter right now. Well, that whole idea about Easter is that he was on the cross for a reason. And that reason was you. And that reason is simply confessing and admitting the state that you're in, literally, that you have fallen short of the glory of God. And that's what the Bible describes it as. You invite Jesus Christ to come into your heart, and he will. He makes himself known to you. And I would, if you do that, I would encourage you to call up the radio station you're listening to right now and say that you did that. And watch what God can do with your life. Because you know what? I can only tell you, I had no idea, just like George doing his radio stations, I had no idea I was ever be doing the science I'm doing this. I thought I was only going to be this technician and do it. It is literally one of the most God-blessed opportunities to be able to share the gospel with an understanding of science, because the world that we live in would never see a correlation between the two. And my life and my world can only see the correlation between the two. So I'd encourage you to make that opportunity real.
Okay, Dr. Lou, Pastor Lou, what a blessing. We're at the end of our time. And I'm sure you got a lot of hearts stirred up. Thank you so much. God bless
you. Amen, brother.
I pray God just blesses and keeps you close to him. Thank you for joining us.
All right, man. You've been listening to Renew FM, and we're so blessed you could join us tonight for our live broadcast here with Pastor George Small. We pray this time encouraged you and helped lift your eyes off the chaos of the COVID-19 crisis and unto Jesus, who remains on his throne and who also is with you right now in this very moment. Join us Monday through Fridays from 6 to 7 p.m. You can also call Renew FM at 888-310-PRAY. But most importantly, we want to remind you that you can call on the Lord and receive the encouragement you need from his word at any time. We invite you to join us next time on our live broadcast. And until then, good night and God bless you.